Hey, book besties, we're your hosts, Kelsey
and Nikki,
and this is For the Shelf Podcast.
Before we get started, this podcast is intended for a mature audience. Use of profanity is a definite, along with discussions of mature sexual themes and graphic content. Listener discretion is advised.
We also have another slight disclaimer before we jump into our review. My husband is out of town this week, so we normally record at Shelf where it's nice and quiet, but we are having to record at my house, and so hopefully my toddler stays asleep, because in full disclosure, we tried to record this once already with her awake, and it did not go over well, and it was bad.
It probably was entertaining, though, and I think if we had, like, a YouTube channel and had, like,
yeah,
you know, recorded, like, a video, I think that really would have kept the people entertained.
Like, took turns holding her to try and keep her quiet, and Nikki played with the little rabbit that plays peekaboo for a while. It was very entertaining, but when I went through the audio, you could just not. It was too distracting. But my dogs are still here, so...
So that noise, that is Opie.
Yeah, that's Opie. And so hopefully they'll quiet down, but you might hear that in the background. So just a FYI to that. Okay, so this week we will be discussing Ice Planet Barbarians by Ruby Dixon. But first, let's get into last week's bookish news. So the first thing that I want to talk about is... And we briefly talked about one of these things before in the podcast, but advent calendars are super popular, obviously, for the holidays. And there were really popular ones, which were like Sarah J. Maas advent calendars. So there was one that was done by Reading Portal, and that was like SJM Universe, so it was all of the book.
And I think that's the one that we had talked about when they were doing their pre-orders.
Yeah, and then there was another one that was like Valara specific, and that was put on by Gadget for Entertainment, I think. I don't really know anything about them, but I do know that there was also a lot of knockoffs that were sold because they obviously like had a limited quantity. They did one sale. Once they sold out of that, like, they were done, and then a lot of people, like, basically stole all of the things from Gadget for Entertainment, and then they sold knockoff ones, basically. Well, all of these advent calendars have now shipped, and they're in the hands of customers. The Reading Portal ones, they are windows, so I think there's 24, and there are different windows with different characters from all of her books, and from the ones that I've seen, they're super pretty. They're legit, and it went over really well, which Reading Portal is a bookish business. They do a lot of, like, character drawings, overlays, like, things like that. So this is, like, their wheelhouse. Gadget for Entertainment, however, I don't know if they're, like, just solely books or they do movies and TV shows and, you know, like, entertainment.
Right.
Well, the biggest thing that I'm seeing is, and I cannot for the life of me narrow it down to if it is their actual advent calendar or if it's the knockoffs, because people have gotten these Valaris advent calendars and the packaging is so pretty. It's like a little village.
I've seen it with these like pop-up houses and it's like a snowscape and it's like gorgeous.
Yeah.
Detail-oriented, beautiful packaging.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of a controversy there.
Yeah, the things inside, like the actual like gifts, are terrible. Like some of them are even coming broken. Like they are already tarnished, like poorly made. I think you even told me like one was just a sticker.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok and of a live unboxing, and literally one of these. It was only like 8 or 9 gifts in this one, too. It wasn't like a 24. It was literally like one temporary tattoo.
Yeah. And I saw another one where the first day was a mini spoon.
What?
It was just a mini wooden spoon.
Like, what's the purpose of that?
I guess because like Reese eats the soup with the spoon. But it wasn't even like there was no detailing on it. There was no nothing. It was just literally like a wooden spoon, like what I have in my little OxyClean container behind you. like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. FYI, we're in my laundry room. So that way we're the farthest away from Scarlett's bedroom. So hopefully she stays asleep while we're recording this. But yeah, so it was just literally a spoon.
A wooden spoon, a tiny like plastic ornament I saw that looked like the painted dresser, you know, the three drawers whatever. One temporary tattoo, and then socks that someone said felt like Brillo pads.
Yeah. And then like a necklace that I think was supposed to be like bat wings or something. I don't know. But one girl said hers came broken. So I don't know. I've seen mixed reviews where some people are like, that's not the legit one. Like, that's a knockoff one. But then I've seen people that are like, no, like I bought mine from Gadget for Entertainment and it's all the same stuff. So I don't know. But either way, people are not happy with it.
Yeah, I have not seen a single video of anyone being happy with their advent calendar. I've only seen people being like, I paid $200 for $7.50 worth of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
What beautiful packaging.
So super glad I didn't get it. Mostly because I forgot to do the pre-order.
We would have been so pissed, though.
But I would have been.
We would have heard earful, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have been really mad about it. And then moving on to our next news. So it's actually also SJM news. So there is have you seen this? I know we like talked about it a little bit before, but they are releasing a cookbook, a Court of Thorns and Roses cookbook, and it is called A Feast of Thorns and Roses.
See, I have a lot to say about this because we did an ACOTAR themed trivia night at the shop, and we do like completely immersive. Like, we do drinks and cocktails and appetizers and desserts all based on these books. And I literally reread the entire ACOTAR series with a friggin' highlighter so I could highlight every time someone mentioned food, so I could pull these recipes right from the books. And I will tell you that they literally eat chicken and vegetables 95% of the time. The only other food specifically mentioned is like Nesta eats a chocolate cake, and then there's chive and cheese scones. So I want to know, like, what recipes they're pulling from these books. Unless it's, like, something that's, like, loosely based, like for example, like, Reese is smelling like jasmine. Maybe it's, like, a jasmine tea or something. Like, something that's, like, loosely based on it. But I want to know, A, where this cookbook was when we were doing this event. But also, these are just people pulling shit out of their ass. Because it's not like, you know, like a Game of Thrones where they're talking about the feasts and the, you know, the puddings and the sauces and, you know, like other like epic fantasy novels. Like, literally, they're eating chicken and vegetables.
Yeah, which is pretty common in fae stuff, like in a lot of fae books. Like, they eat like hard meat, hard cheese, bread, whatever, you know, when they're traveling. And that's very typical. Or they like eat whatever they catch, like squirrels and stuff like that. But yeah, so what I have gathered is this is the unofficial cookbook. So it's not like, I'm assuming they must have gotten some type of permission, but it's not the official.
Do you need permission if it's quote unquote unofficial? I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you look at the cover, it's ACOTAR. It's just changed. Like, it's the same font, the same background, everything. It just says A Feast. So they must have gotten some type of permission to do something. I don't know. But it's not the official cookbook. It's unofficial. It's by somebody I don't know. I don't know who.
It's still going to sell really well because, yeah, let's face it, us bitches, we like ACOTAR.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, it's at, I keep seeing and getting emails about it. So it's at Books A Million. It's at Barnes. You can.
Oh, it's already out.
No. Oh, okay. But like, you can pre-order it. And you can pre-order it on Amazon. And I went looking to see if there was like...
Or probably bookshop.org.
Yes. And I went looking to see if I could see a sample or like, you know, like some of the recipes. And you can't see anything. It's just like the stock photo of what I'm assuming the front of the cookbook is going to look like. But it comes out April 1st in 2025. So maybe they'll release more the closer we get to it. But yeah, I don't know if I'll buy it. But I'll definitely go scout it out at a store and see what's in it.
Yeah, no fair. I mean, because, like, how often do you buy themed cookbooks? Like, I personally, I went thrifting today, and I bought myself the Feast of Ice and Fire, the Game of Thrones cookbook.
Yeah.
Because it was $3. And, like, I was like, whatever, for $3. Like, I'll glance at it. But am I ever going to make anything from there? Probably not.
No, and like nowadays you can find so many of these recipes on Google after they come out. So, I mean,
that's a really great point. I wonder like if cookbook authors actually, if it's just a labor of love or if they actually have like sales and make significant profits from the sale of cookbooks. Like, do people even buy new physical cookbooks anymore?
I don't know. I bought Chrissy Teigen's cookbooks when they first came out, but it was because I really liked the recipes that were in them. Like, I just saw it at Barnes & Noble, I think in their, like, last chance section.
Right, because no one's buying cookbooks at full price.
And I looked at the recipes, and I was like, ooh, these actually sound, like, pretty interesting. And so I bought
them. And how many of them have you made?
I've actually made quite a lot.
Okay.
But, like, a few years ago, back when, like, I cooked a lot of that type of meal, like before I met my husband, because my husband is a bodybuilder. So he's like, chicken and rice and broccoli and
so the cookbook will be good for him because it's chicken and vegetables.
Yeah, basically. Okay. And then my dogs are going crazy. I'm sorry. The last thing I have is LJ Andrews came out with some type of news.
What kind of news?
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean?
So she posted on her Instagram that she had like exciting news about like her series that are out and like what is coming next. But I could not for the life of me get the post to load.
Okay, so we have news, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, I couldn't get it to
load. So go and source your own bookish news, guys.
Yeah. Because it was one of those where it wasn't a reel, so it didn't like move the slide. Like it was like just photos and then you had to move to the next photo. Maybe this is genius marketing. I don't know. But I would go to the next slide and it would just be like the loading circle. And that was it. Like for all of that.
Or your phone's just fucked up then.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. But either one, I couldn't find.
I love her.
Yeah. So
I'm excited for this news that we don't know about.
Yeah, and I wanted because I know you love her. So
I love her.
I try and give you all
sexy Faye Vikings.
Yeah, I try and give you all of her bookish news, but I couldn't for this one.
Or I think she's underrated because she's only self-published. I don't think she has anything trad published yet.
Not yet, but I believe she got picked up. She got picked up for something next year. And then the last thing I have isn't really new news. It's just kind of continuation. So Goodreads is doing their books of the year. So the window to vote for your favorite books is still open. So make sure to check that out and vote for your favorite book.
Which book did you vote for in the first round for Romanticy?
I felt like...
Kelsey looks really embarrassed right now.
Okay, I felt like I needed to... I didn't want to vote for SJM because I know she's going to get a bunch of votes.
You also didn't read the book, so you can't vote for it.
But the book that I did vote for, I haven't read yet.
What?
But I know it's going to be fantastic, and I love the author.
What book did you vote for?
Gold.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
And I haven't read it because I wanted to wait until Goldfinch came out because, like, I knew I was going to binge it.
And Goldfinch is out.
I know. And I'm glad that I waited because I heard that Gold ends on such a huge cliffhanger. So I'm glad. And I mean, I can't remember what it was. Gleam? Glow? I don't remember which one was the last one. That ended on a big...
Glow, I think, is book four. Because Glint and Gleam are books two, three.
And so, yeah. So I voted for it because I know it's fantastic, but I haven't gotten around to read it yet because I've been so focused on reading podcast books.
I voted for a book that I actually read. I voted for When the Moon Hatched.
Yeah.
And it was a tough one because Fate Inked in Blood was also on there. And yeah, I really liked that. But When the Moon Hatched was just, I don't know. It was one of my favorite reads of this year. I could not vote for SJM, despite owning four hardcover copies of House of Flame and Shadow for some strange reason. I still have not read it.
Yeah, I DNF'd it.
But you can't just DNF it because then you'll be lost for ACOTAR 6. You have to go back to it.
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
So I read far enough that I most likely won't be.
What? Okay, so I have to confess that I did start it, but I started it on an audiobook, and I think I read or listened to maybe 4 or 5 chapters. And then my library card expired, so I couldn't get the
I got like, to my Libby chapter like 35.
Oh my god.
I got pretty far in it, but Therian.
I didn't know you made it that far.
But Therian pissed me the fuck off when I stopped reading.
Oh god, you heard it here first, guys. Or maybe you actually read the book that came out 11
almost
and a half
months. Almost a year ago. Yeah, he pissed me off, so I had to stop. And Ethan also is kind of annoying in this book, so.
Okay, say no more. Say less. Yeah. Say less. I'm going to power through it, just like I powered through the last 2 fucking Crescent City books, which was
not my favorite.
God, not my favorite. Not my favorite.
No, not my favorite.
Too. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it for the people.
Yeah, and then apparently she's going to write more.
Well, there's supposed to be 4 because there's supposed to be 1 for each, like, house.
So originally,
4 Crescent
City. So originally there was just supposed to be 3, which is why this book wraps up the way that it does.
Oh.
It wraps up, like, the big storyline, apparently. My mom read it, and I asked her, and she said, and she goes, I can see where she left it open to come back. But she's not going to, she's already said, Sarah, like, she's already moved on to ACOTAR, and then she has a whole new series she's starting. It's going to be like 5 or 6 years before she goes back and writes Crescent City 4, but that's because there wasn't supposed to be a Crescent City 4, but she wants to continue.
It's probably still beneficial to read Crescent City 3 before ACOTAR 6.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean,
yeah,
for reasons that we will not
just like you need to read ACOTAR 5 before you read Crescent City 3.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
For reasons that we are not going to disclose.
At this point, everybody fucking knows.
But maybe they don't. Maybe they're new. Maybe they're new to Sarah J. Maas.
Yeah, okay.
Welcome to the cult, friends, if you are new to Sarah J. Maas.
For real. All right, so let's get into our review of Ice Planet Barbarians by Ruby Dixon. So at the time of this recording, the Goodreads rating is a 3.63 stars. With 160,000 reviews. The book was published in 2025 and is the first in the series of Ice Planet Barbarians. And there are 19 and a half books so far.
So, Kels, the book was actually published in 2015, not 2025, because I don't even think it's 2025 now. So, from the future!
Oh, and I'm looking at it too, and it says 2020.
This is the podcast of the future, and we are broadcasting from the future to tell you about this book that's published next year.
And there's
already 19 and a half episodes, so it's fine. Okay, so 2015, guys.
Dude, I didn't even catch that I
said that. So the description of the book. You'd think being abducted by aliens would be the worst thing that could happen to me. And you'd be wrong. Because now, the aliens are having ship trouble, and they've left their cargo of human women, including me, on an ice planet. And the only native inhabitant I've met, he's big, horned, blue, and really, really has a thing for me.
Oh, God. This is giving, like, the same description of when we read That Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Demon.
Yeah, this is kind of in the same vein.
Yeah. Okay, so the genre for this book is science fiction, romance erotica, and monster alien romance.
The trigger warnings, which are directly from the book, we have abduction, survival situation / food shortages, rape of a side character. It is on page, but it's not
descriptive.
It's not descriptive, but you certainly know that it is happening. There's dubious consent and then surprise pregnancy.
Yeah, and then I also want to add human trafficking to that as well.
Yeah, because even though it's aliens that are abducting and it's kind of in a humorous situation, they are definitely implying that they're abducting these women for, like, sexual slavery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They for sure, like, just took 12 women from their beds.
Yeah.
Okay, so the tropes are mates, there's a breeding kink, huddle for warmth, damsel in distress, and love at first sight.
So, and now here we go. We arrive at my typically favorite part of the podcast, the smell report. There is no smell report. I have no smell report for you guys. Our alien main character, Vectel, he has no smell. But I would like to think that this just gives us the opportunity to come up with his smell.
Yeah.
So I think that our big, giant, blue alien on the ice planet, our ice planet barbarian, if you will, I think he smells like worked, like cured leather, musk, and wind-kissed icicles.
Okay. I would say he would smell like smoke. Because they live in caves. He would smell of like sulfur because they have a spring, like a hot spring in there. And then like fresh snow on Christmas morning.
Okay. I don't think he would smell like pine.
No, because they don't have, they're not like regular trees.
No, they're like tufty little like truffula trees.
Yeah.
Like from the Lorax.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have like fine.
Yeah, and they're like pink, I think.
So he can't have the Rowan scent.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And I think we're in agreement that Georgie would smell like shit.
Yes.
At least until she took a bath.
In fact, I read this on Kindle. It's on Kindle Unlimited. And hey, Opie. When I went to go back, I did, a search for the word smell just to make sure I didn't miss the smell report while I was reading. The only thing that they ever describe as smelling is things smelling like shit, things smelling terrible, like the smell of like the like unwashed human bodies. They at no point ever really describe a nice smell.
So. Yeah. So they are in like the ship, right? And so they are like basically thrown in a cage. And they're given a bucket, and then that's where they, like, do their business. And the aliens are nice enough that they clean it out once a day. But when the ship crashes, it's full, and they haven't had a chance to empty it. And so the contents go everywhere. And these ladies aren't ever given the opportunity to bathe. And it's basically, like, they allude to it's been at least a week that...
Yeah, there's a hefty amount of time that has passed.
Yeah. So, yeah, they definitely are not smelling great. So she
no.
So she smells like shit.
Yeah, so her smell report would be disgusting. And
B.O.
Quite frankly, that also makes, when you think about, so the dubious consent, she wakes up with the alien between her legs.
Yeah.
And he's going to town.
Yeah.
And he's having a great time. And ew. Because she can't be smelling good.
No, and I don't think they got toilet paper.
No, I don't think so. I think that is probably probably pretty nasty.
Yeah, they haven't been able to wipe. But he does eat, like, organs straight out of animals, so, you know.
True.
All right, well, that kind of segues into our jalapeno rating.
Yes, tell me about your jalapeno rating.
Okay, I gave it a 3. And it's a weird 3 because he has extra body parts and things, which would usually put the rating a little higher. But there's not a lot of scenes. And like for a book like this, like you expect it to be basically all smut and like very little plot. And while there is very little plot, there's also not a ton of smut. I mean, what we do get is like pretty descriptive, but there's nothing really anything extra besides like he has a little bit of extra anatomy, which is explained because he's obviously an alien. But yeah, I would give it a 3.
See, I gave it a 2. I was expecting this to be way spicier because from what other people's reviews and what I've heard about the book, I expected it to be pure alien smut. And that's what I was here for. And that's what I wanted from this book. And this book did not deliver. I'm thinking 3-ish scenes, right? Maybe 4 scenes.
Yeah.
Maximum. And they weren't super long. They were descriptive. They were fine. But I don't know. I expected more. So he did have, you mentioned his extra anatomy. So he had like a weird like barb on the end of his penis, which was kind of like a, like like a, almost like a claw.
Yeah.
And it didn't go in. It goes on top. So that was different. They were talking about like.
Yeah. Okay. So this is where I think we also, I don't know. Maybe I missed it, but I then also thought he had an extra thing, kind of like the little snake from Nicholas, because it talked about how the first time they were having sex, it like came back out through her labia. And then, because he finally, he figured out that she likes, like, having her clit stimulated, because I guess the alien women don't have a clit. So it, like, came back out of her and then was, like, rubbing on her clit, right? And then when they were doing it from behind, which also aliens apparently don't do because they have tails, it went into her little...
Okay, so the way I pictured it described was kind of like a rabbit. Like, where you have the part that you have the regular, you know, the regular shaft that goes in, but then the little thingy on top that just kind of, like, jiggles a little bit on top. Like, Kelsey's looking at me crazy.
The little
on top that kind of stimulate the top part.
I know that you are describing a vibrator. I don't own one of these, so I don't know exactly what it looks like, but...
Well, I'm just saying I have seen ones that have little rabbit ears on
them. But when you said rabbit the first time, I was genuinely thinking like an actual rabbit, like an animal, and I was like...
No, the toy!
And I was like, I don't stare at rabbit's genitalia. I don't know how it looks.
So, yes. So, think of a rabbit. If you don't know what the rabbit looks like, not a rabbit, the animal, a quick Google search will show you. And this is what I think it is. It is the thing that it's attached to the penis, but it's like on top. It doesn't go in and it just stimulates the clit. And then when they're doing it from behind, kind of goes in her BH.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is. Yup. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, also something to add here too. Aliens apparently don't kiss. So. She teaches him how to kiss, and I don't remember what I think he, like, refers to it as, like, mouth fucking, and I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, he's really into the kissing. He's really happy about it.
Yeah.
He's really happy about the doggy style, too. Like, he's just really happy about all these things.
Yeah.
He thinks the clit is an extra nipple.
Yeah, he did say that, yeah, and they got a third nipple. Yeah, that was funny.
So I will say that this wasn't necessarily spicy, but it sure was funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah. Okay, so sweet peppers. I want to hear your thoughts first.
Okay, so five giant red sweet peppers. Like, Vectel is the sweetest mailman character I think we have encountered so far. So literally, like, he's just a warm blanket for her. Like, I don't know. If we were to transfer him to Sarasota and he was not an alien and he was like a regular man, he would be like a man bun wearing, you know, kind of dude that, like, you wake up and there's fresh coffee brewed and he has made you homemade cinnamon buns from scratch. Maybe they're vegan. I don't know. But, like, and then he changes the air filter in your apartment complex, in your apartment without asking. Like, this is Vectel.
I gave it a 2.
What? How is that possible?
Because he's literally only doing it because he wants to fuck her.
But because he loves her.
Because he wants to fuck her.
But he loves her. He's like, you are my heart. You are my resonant. He's like, he forehead kisses her. He's like, he takes care of her. He carries her through the snow. He catches and cooks her meat, even though he thinks it's disgusting. He's always worried about whether or not she's, like, warm enough or if she's healthy and she's eating and drinking. And he's daddy. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying, like, he wanted to throw all the other humans out into the snow and let them die because she didn't want to fuck him in front of them.
They wouldn't have died. They could have stood out in the snow for 20 minutes. First off, but he didn't. He didn't throw the humans out in the snow.
He's a 10, but...
He's a 10, but... But these cinnamon buns are vegan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not denying that he does sweet things, but I just think it, like, just comes from, like, that just a place where he's like, oh, my little chest purrs, and like, this is the woman that I'm supposed to mate. And he just like, yeah,
but he knows it's his mate, which means it's like, that's the only one for him. That's the only person for him. That's who he is going to pick for his entire life. That is sweet. That is sweet to know that and feel that way. You're fucking married. You should identify with this.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying it's not a five.
You tell me that your husband didn't one day go, that's the one for me.
That's it. That's the one. That's my mate.
I mean, he did.
He did.
But not right out the gate.
Well, but you weren't in a survival situation.
You are the same species.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. All right, all right,
all right.
All right.
Moving on. All right, Kelsey's wrong. He's five sweet peppers.
Okay, let's get into the characterization, plot, world building. So the biggest thing about this book, it's a really short book. It's like 200 pages. There's not a lot to the characters, to the plot. You're here for like the smut, basically. So there's not a whole lot that goes into this. So we have Vectel. He's like the main barbarian dude.
He's the head of their barbarian tribe.
Yeah. Then we have Georgie. She was like one of the last girls that was captured, but then she kind of takes on like a leadership role. She goes out to try and find like people or food or whatever to help them survive in their crash ship. And that's how they end up meeting. But she has Stockholm syndrome for sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you think that you're saying that her feelings for the alien are not genuine and just because he came to save her.
So either she's Stockholm syndrome or she never had a good lay on Earth.
I mean, that's possible. Have you seen the men on Earth?
So,
yeah. Not all of them. Sorry, guys.
She was just real quick to get on board. And like, she was real quick to like, you wake up and first of all, because they know that they are being like sold to somebody to be a sex slave. They know that if they scream or they make noises on the plane, that they get raped. And you wake up to some random other life form in between your legs, and you're like, I'm gonna let this ride out.
That is true. She does not stop him.
No. She enjoys it.
Okay. She does. I don't know if that's... She does enjoy it, but I don't know if that's Stockholm syndrome. That's something. But it's Stockholm syndrome is when you fall in love with your captor.
I mean, she does.
But he doesn't capture her. He's not care of her. He's care of her.
Stockholm adjacent.
Okay. Stockholm adjacent. And maybe she's never had someone care for her like that before.
I mean, but we do know that the way that these women are taken is the aliens do their research and they know that they're all single women. They don't have husbands, they don't have boyfriends, they don't have kids, they're not pregnant, like, they don't have families, so they're just, like, single women, and they literally take them.
Right, so that no one will miss them.
Yeah.
So, she was lonely. And he filled a void. For sure.
Okay, so some world building.
It's cold there.
Yeah.
It's cold there. I will say, Ruby Dixon does set the picture. You definitely know that it's cold, and it feels cold. Everything's cold.
Yeah. There's lots of snow. And she goes into some detail, like, the trees are different, and the, like, waters have, like, little fish in them that, I don't know. And then...
Different monsters, you know, different creatures. This landscape looks nothing like Earth.
Yeah.
But it does look like Hoth, right?
Yeah. So it has two suns and two moons. And when they land there and Georgie, like, sticks her head out, she says, like, it looks like Hoth from Star Wars. And somebody else, like, one of the other girls knows something about Star Wars and, like, corrects her on something. She's like, okay, so it's looks like not Hoth. And so that's how they refer to the planet, is they call it not Hoth. But, yeah, that's how it's first described, is it looks just like Hoth. And then there's, like, a weird parasite thing.
Yeah. So the alien race, they have like a thing inside them, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this properly. It's called a Kui.
That's how I was saying it.
And it makes their eyes glow. And this is what like kind of fuels their mate bond. And what it is like a parasite that they put inside their bodies when they're babies, which A, helps them acclimate to the cold, but B, also like helps them like choose their best mate, like based on like a biological, like pregnancy, like
breeding.
Like who is the best biologically to produce an offspring.
Yeah.
But it also like heals them faster and stuff. And they would die if they didn't have this.
Yeah. So they say like the women are suffering from the Kui sickness or whatever, which basically means like, I think they say you have like 8 days
to be on Not Hoth without ingesting this parasite.
Yeah. Otherwise like you die. So
that was kind of interesting and different. We haven't really encountered that before.
No. Yeah. So that definitely was different.
It was also gross.
It was very.
My friend was.
Yeah. So in order. So it's like found in like their alien version of like, what would you say?
Like a woolly mammoth.
Yeah. Like a woolly mammoth. And then, yeah, it's like inside the heart and they have to like cut it open. And
it's kind of like a worm and then they like shove it in you.
Yeah, they like cut open your neck and that's how it goes in.
Yeah. That was pretty gross.
Yeah, it was really gross. But yeah, so we really won't have like a spoiler review because there's not really spoilers.
Yeah, I don't think there's any point to really discuss spoilers. This is a really low stakes kind of read, similar to the demon, you know, the time I got drunk and saved a demon book.
Yeah. So like the biggest thing is like the pregnancy thing. So like, yeah, they only have like 4 females in the tribe and the rest are males. And so when you have somebody that, yeah, the Kui or whatever thinks like, okay, this is the best chance that you have to be able to produce a live offspring, like that's who you mate with. And so like the thing in the chest, like basically produces kind of like a mating bond and you are just immediately drawn to that person and like you want to fuck them basically.
But also he loved her. Like he talks about, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not just about fucking.
No, but I mean, it's a big part of it. And so, yeah, the first time that Vectel and Georgie get together, she's kind of an idiot because she's like, oh, well, I don't have to worry because like he comes inside her, obviously. And then she's like, oh, well, I don't have to worry because like a different species can't get me pregnant.
Yeah, that's really stupid.
Although there was no, like, she didn't know that. She just assumed that. And then his inner dialogue after that is like, oh, I can't wait to see her belly, you know, go round with like they call it a kit. They call the kids kit. And so, yeah, so their like whole plot is if they're going to stay on the planet and take the Kui or if they're going to try and like leave when the aliens come back to get them.
And this is the big plot decision here.
Yeah. And so.
So maybe we won't tell you what they decided to do.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So I guess maybe we'll do our ratings and I'll save it for that portion then. So what would you say your rating is?
I'm going to give this 3 stars because it's just fun. It's not going to change your life. You're not going to get any like literary value out of this. This was just fun and silly and it's a palate cleanser book and I don't know, it was 3 stars. They're all for Vectel and his cinnamon bun Megan air filter change and self.
Yeah, I gave it 2.5 stars. Yeah, I mean you're really not reading this book to really gain anything out of it. It's
not winning the Pulitzer.
No, it was a good palate cleanser. And so like, oh, in full transparency, we were supposed to read The Bridge Kingdom by Danielle Jensen. And I got to chapter 3 and I DNF'd it and I texted Nikki and I was like, I can't do it. Not saying that that's a bad book because I've heard fantastic things about that book. It was just like, we've read so many books that are so similar with it. Like the lost, you know, it's like a lost heir, anti, like, established, anti-royalty thing, like, you know.
Right. It seemed like the same thing, just a different flavor.
Yeah.
Just a different flavor ice cream. And we just needed something that was not that.
Yeah. So that's where we landed on this book, because it was going to be a quick read, because we changed it like midweek. So we needed something that we could get through pretty fast. And that was just like a fun, like, little break from the normal romantic-y fantasy books that we've been reading. So that's kind of, it did what it was supposed to for me. It was nothing fantastic.
Although Kelsey did text me at one point to let me know that the alien sex was doing it for her.
I was getting into it. I was like, all right, I can get into this scene. Because, like, you know, how many other ones have we read? Like, fucking Quicksilver, for example. And it's cringy as shit. And you're like, yeah. This was like, all right, yeah, this is fun. This is cool.
I didn't have any, like, cringe moments during the sex scenes.
Yeah, there was no saying the word boobs. So that was great. But yeah, so would you say it's for your shelf?
No, I would not say it's for my shelf. I do have a physical copy that I had brought home from the shop, but I'm just going to bring it back to the shop because it was fun and it was fine. I don't personally feel the need for a copy or a special edition or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I don't see any reason to read further.
Yeah. So I have a weird, like, phenomenon that happened with me with these books. So I saw them in the store, like, for the last, like, I don't know, maybe year, 2 years or so. And every time I'd see one, I would buy it immediately. I knew nothing about it. I didn't read the book description. It was nowhere, like, anywhere on my TBR. It was just, like, I'd go into the store, it would be there, and I would buy it. I own, like, 6 of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. For no freaking reason. Like, I would see one in the store. This is how much it tells you that I have no idea. I just buy it. I would see one in the store and I would have to look in my library app to see if I already owned it or not, because I don't know what the titles are and I don't know in what order they go. I would just see it and I would buy it.
That is a weird phenomenon.
It is.
So what are you going to do with the 6 books you have now?
ZB is, like, thrilled. She was thrilled to learn that I own the books and I've been letting her borrow them.
Amazing.
So...
All right. Spread the alien porn to the entire bookshop crew.
Yeah. So it's not for my shelf and I probably won't read any more of them, but I already own the first 6. I don't know. It probably has to do with, like, the way that they look, because they're very colorful and they're very pretty and they're just so different because they're, like, bright colors. So it's so different than, like, the stuff.
Right, and you know it's smut, and you know it's, like, in the genre that,
yeah.
You know.
And so it's so different than, like, all the other books that are on my bookshelf, as far as, like, colors go. So that could be why I ended up picking them up. And I saw the KU cover, and the physical is totally different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The KU cover is pretty saucy.
Yeah. Yeah, so the physical is more discreet. But yeah, so I don't know. They might go to ZB. Or I might give them the shelf. I don't know.
There you go. You guys need some copies?
Okay, so this is where we would normally go into our spoiler review. But again, we don't really have one. Is there anything else you want to, like, talk about?
I guess I have, like, a talking question.
Okay.
So, as you mentioned before, like, I guess the main conflict is will the women choose to stay on the ice planet, or will they choose to, like, hijack a spaceship or whatever and try to go to Earth or somewhere else? If you were Georgie, what would you have done? You are possibly pregnant with a blue alien baby.
Yeah. I would be all for staying, except for having to have my neck sliced open and a parasite put in me. I don't know. I would maybe see if I could get the spaceship functional and then maybe find another planet. Okay. And not live on an ice planet, because that sounds miserable.
True, but the parasite does acclimate your body to the body temperature of the planet.
I mean, yes, but it's still snow and ice.
Okay, so you want to go to, like, like a Bahamas planet.
Sure.
Okay. I don't know. I think I would have, like, I would have picked the barbarian more so than the planet.
Yeah.
Like, I could have been like, fine, if you want to come with me, sexy barbarian,
which we can go elsewhere. Which he even does offer. Like, he offers to go.
He's so sweet.
He offers to go to Earth with her. And she's like, yeah, that would cause way more problems.
Yeah, true. Could you imagine? Although, apparently, I don't know anything about this, but what about the...
Have you heard about the aliens in the ocean?
Is that real? Like, what? I haven't done a deep dive on this yet.
So here's what the government has said. They said that they have, like, these meetings about UFOs,
right,
and aliens.
As they should, probably. You know, we should be monitoring.
And they said they have evidence, but they can't show us.
Okay.
But as millennials...
But which fucking government official said, like, who said this?
I don't know. I think just the...
The head of alien affairs?
Department of...
The Department of Alien...
Department of Military, I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it's like a legit thing. I think like Congress is involved. I don't know. But as a millennial, let me tell you, I'm fucking tired. And I don't care about the aliens, because unless they're going to shoot up into the sky and it's going to be fucking Independence Day shit going on here.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time. I want you to know that I watch Independence Day every year on July 4th, and it is an event. Like, we have a party and invite people over and we all watch Independence Day.
That's hilarious.
Yep. Every year. My son hates it. He's like, do we really have to watch Independence Day? I'm like, you shut up. This is the day of our Lord and Savior, Will Smith.
Yeah. So unless that's happening, I really don't care. The aliens can be in my backyard for all I give a shit.
Yeah, I don't really care either. I mean, unless they're hostile.
Yeah. Which apparently, I mean, and then there's been debates where people are like, Did they come into the planet and then bury themselves in the ocean? Some people theorize that they've been there all along, so they're like native to the planet. Who knows? I really don't care.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note.
Yeah, so just a quick little announcement. So when this podcast comes out, it will be 2 days from Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving in the States. And so we're recording it's Saturday. And so we...
So we're actually recording from the past.
Yeah.
And not the future.
And so we are going to be taking next week off so we can celebrate Thanksgiving with our families. So we will not be recording next week, which means that...
There will be a bye week. There will not be content next week, guys.
Yeah, yeah. So that means...
Or next week.
So you won't have an episode dropping on the 3rd. And then we'll be right back after that. And so,
but just for a couple weeks, and then we're doing... Yeah. And then we're doing a few week hiatus.
Yeah, for the holidays. So we will be back. And I think that date that's going to be is the 10th. So our next episode will drop on December 10th. And that will be, we'll be reviewing The Heartless Hunter by Kristen. I don't know what her last name is.
It starts with a C.
It starts with a C.
Yep. We probably should have looked that up first.
Okay, but see, here's my thing. I don't want to, because I don't want to say it wrong, and I don't want to say Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach. Okay. And that's all I can think about.
All right, so Heartless Hunter by Kristen C. Present.
So, yeah. Yeah, every time that's just immediately what pops in my brain when I went searching for the book was, oh, it's by Kristen Cavallari. And I'm like, no, it's fucking not. But, so, yeah.
I don't know what that thing is that you're talking about.
Would you say Cavallari?
Yeah, who is that?
She's from Laguna Beach.
What the fuck is Laguna Beach?
That was a TV show on MTV.
When?
I was a teenager.
Okay. I don't know what it is.
You don't. And then it had the. Oh, what was the theme song? It was like, when the rain falls. Like the Hilary Duff song.
Nope.
Nope.
I'm a blank.
No.
Like, I know who Hilary Duff is.
Well, it was just like one of her songs. I believe it was one of her songs. It was the theme song. And then Lauren Conrad had a spinoff called The Hills.
Okay, well. Moving on.
Yeah, so that is going to be our review of Ice Planet Barbarians by Ruby Dixon. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. Like I said, we'll be off next week, but then we'll be back the following week with our review of Heartless Hunter. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms. Drop us a comment. Give us some stars wherever you're listening. That way we can hopefully spread this podcast to other listeners.
Yeah, tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your dentist. Don't tell your grandma. It's probably not for grandma.
Yeah, maybe not.
No.
No.
But although, tell your friends at Thanksgiving.
Although I did see a really funny TikTok.
Yeah.
So right before you came over, and it was like this girl, and she's like, point of view, your mom takes a photo. But it's a live photo. So you don't have an iPhone. But when you take a picture on iPhone, and some of them, like I think it just automatically does a live photo, which means it takes like a mini video. It's like a 5-second
video. Right,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And she forgot to pause her audiobook when she took the photo. And so when you press down on the photo and it plays the little 5-second, it was like, and the bulge in the front of his pants. Because the mom was listening to
a
romance book. It was fucking funny.
Oh, man.
And now I will have to always make sure I pause my audiobooks before I take photos now.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, we don't want to know about the bulge.
Nope.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening in.
All right.
Bye, book besties.